Well, it's December, so that means it's wrestling season and time for us to check in with Tim Yount of On the Mat Rankings as the season hits full speed here this first weekend. And Tim, glad to talk to you again this year and kind of glad we're getting closer to normal years with wrestling, it seems.
Well, I certainly hope so, Kevin. You know, the one thing we are hearing is that there's a couple of tournaments this year that are going to require masks. And so what's it mean for the spectator? What's it mean for others going to those tournaments? We don't know. And things can change on a dime, and cities can do different things, and schools can do different things. But you're right in that we have a true season, a real season with hopefully 10 weeks of wrestling and a lot of good action.
And you also mentioned a word we didn't talk much about last year was tournaments. We're going to see some of those again in the regular season, it appears.
Yeah, great memory on that. Yeah. You know, that was really frustrating for me. When I went back, you know, I'm doing the analysis for this year's rankings, I've got these kids who are 8-2. You know, 8-2 is, you know, typical year is two tournaments, and it's 8-2 for the season. And it was frustrating to see that because I just knew the mat time for a lot of these kids just wasn't there. Here's the things: what's going to happen? What's the impact going to be this year with so little mat time for those kids that maybe just wrestled during the high school season?
Yeah, that too. And another thought I had was we're back to a 16-team individual bracket at the state tournament as compared to just 8 competitors last year. So how much does that change as you look at the rankings for the teams to start the year?
You know what? It really does, because some of these kids, you know, they were a regional placer, and they would have been massive scorers for some of the schools had they made it to state. And you know how many times we see, and we've talked about this forever, a third or fourth place kid in the region that comes back and wins the state title. So it was a really hard year. But, you know, that's part of the excitement right now is you got these kids that didn't make it to state and are now motivated and excited to say, hey, we're going to take 4. We're going to be taking a lot as a school. Because when I break these individual programs down and look at school by school by school, there are several of them that have 7, 8, 9 ranked kids all in the top 6, and usually those are the kids that are going to make the state. That whole scenario plays out much differently in the team score at state as a result of that.
Another thing you have to factor in as you look at both individual and team wrestling, you mentioned it in your notes, is freshmen, really hard to get a grip on those kids each and every year as they step into the high school mats.
You know what? It is, and I've been really conservative with freshmen over the last couple of years, and I do so because there's such a question mark on what they'll do. You know, you get a freshman at 106, you got a pretty good idea they're going to be competitive because they're mainly competing against freshmen, sophomores, sometimes juniors and seniors. But when you get into that 132 to 138, it's the place where a lot of freshmen who've had great success maybe their entire career, perhaps a great summer success, maybe just don't quite hit the mark at the high school level. And the bigger the class, the more difficult it is. And that's not degrading or saying anything to the contrary that you know, the 2A isn't tough. It's just a different result for those kids. The ones that I think we really have to pay attention to, I say we as a sport, coaches, parents, family members, media, is what happens to those freshmen who've had that success that are at 182 or 195 or 220. Some of them may never see a winning record until their junior or senior year. But we're also seeing a lot of attrition in those areas, too, where kids just give up on the sport and walk away and never come back. And so it's almost like a unified calling for everybody to work with those kids, to keep their mind in the right place, and to help them stay on the team. Because, you know, if you score really well sometimes in those upper weights, you can win a team title, you can put your team in the top 10. And when you're absent those points, sometimes you slide right out of that top place where you want to be as a team.
Yeah, freshman 1 point. Another note that you had in your preseason rankings, there's some weights, and you didn't want to mention them, and I won't force you to do it here, but there's some weights right now to start the year that are kind of thin in your mind.
Yeah, there are. Matter of fact, I can't remember a year when I had a preseason ranking where I had 4 kids in weight, and that's all I could rank.
Wow.
And that wasn't to say that those kids, other kids, aren't going to be good. I shouldn't say weren't. There was no proven history that those kids would be able to close the door and start the season in a ranked position. But there were a couple other weights where a couple things happened, Kevin. One was some major gaps where I had 1 or 2 kids that were pretty stellar, and it was pretty thin after that. and you're right, I'm not going to mention that.
Right.
But there are a couple other weights, too, where there's just a massive number of state qualifiers and state placers that you're always going to see shifts away from those weights at some point. Kids are going to move up or they're going to move down. Usually they move down. And we'll see if people are paying attention. And that's what we really love about the preseason rankings is they are just a prognostication, and kids will, you know, maybe came in a little bit heavier or losing the weight through using the weight reduction plan and all that stuff. And it evens out in the end. But right now, boy, there's some weights where it's thin and there's some weights where it's just like stacked.
Yeah. Where do you see that transition starting? Is it after Christmas? Is it going into the postseason? Where will we see that kind of balance out in your mind?
You know what it is? When you get that extra weight allowance after the break, it tends to help the teams kind of settle in and get their kids the right weight. One of the things, though, that's happened, you know, in the old rule, Kevin, when we had to have half your weigh-ins at the weight where you're going to wrestle in regions, they got rid of that. And when they got rid of that, what it did is it really positioned the athlete and the coach to talk about what's our weight a reduction plan going to allow me to do. And a lot of these kids are going to just make that lower weight 1 week before regions. And a lot of teams don't wrestle the week before regions, and so you don't really know where they're going to be. And all of a sudden, you look at a regional bracket, and there they are in this new weight. And I think that's what's going to happen. Typically, it's right after Christmas for some kids that want to get their weight solidified, right? They want to be comfortable. They want to know what their nutritional diet plan needs to be. But there's others that just slide down really, really late and get into that position right before regionals, and all of a sudden, it's a completely different-looking team. Because if you're a coach, and you look at the regional rankings that we do every week once we get into that rhythm, you're going to see where those gaps are if you're an astute coach that studies numbers and looks at the data and stuff like that and get kids in the right way. It's scary, but that whole last 5 or 6 weeks is just mayhem for me when it comes to that shifting away.
Tim, let's now take a look at some of the individual classes in 4A and 5A. I want to start with Class 4A, and kind of been the tradition of late. We have to go way down south to the Steel City to get the top teams in the division. You have Pueblo East number one, Pueblo County right behind them, so the Eagles and the Hornets 1-2 in your preseason poll.
You know what? There have been many years, Kevin, where we've talked about Pueblo.
Yeah.
And it is so true that they just wrestle incredibly well down there, and even though we don't have four this year in the top 15, we've got Pueblo East and Pueblo County 1-2. Now, here's the crazy thing. They're separated by 2 points.
Wow.
So, yeah, 2 points. You guys all know what 2 points is. 2 points is a pin fall in a state tournament. And so it's going to be a rocket fire duel. And I say duel, they're just going to be beating each other up all year long, and they're going to get to state, and they'll wrestle each other 3 or 4 different times in certain weights, and it's going to be fun. I really kind of like that, actually.
And do you have quality with Easton County, or do you have depth at those two schools, or does a combination of the two?
Well, you know, I actually think they're kind of set up a little differently. You got Pueblo East, which has 9 ranked kids, 6 in the top 4, and you got Pueblo County with 6 ranked kids, but guess what? 4 are ranked number 1.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so you put 4 kids at number 1, you've got over 100 points they're scoring with 4 kids. And if you're thinking a state title could be won by 120 points, what's that tell you? If County finds any type of success in kids not named Garcia and White and Morris and Velasquez and Padilla, they're going to push the heck out of East. Here's what I love about East, though. And this is the big question mark, I think, on them, maybe. And that is they've got an incredible freshman class. They maybe have the best freshman class of any school in the entire state. But if those kids don't perform to expectation, East is not going to win this title. And it's a lot of pressure on freshmen to have to do well. But you're led by Weston Dalton, who, again, was going for his second straight last year and lost in the finals to Loveland there. And you got Freeman back, and Freeman back, the two Freeman brothers, and you got Herberter. I really like the team, but I think the big question mark is how those freshmen are going to perform at the big meets and then at state.
All right. So we talk about the other smaller classes in a different segment. We had kind of a newcomer in each of the top 5 there, and I'll put Falcon here in 4A in that group. Again, when you think traditional wrestling as a team, the Falcons don't jump out, but yet you have them at 3.
No, they don't jump out, but last year, and I knew I was going to be in trouble. Coach Lovato said, Tim, we're much better. I think I had him in 6 going into the state tournament. we're, we're, we're going to embarrass you.
Got to listen to coaches, man.
I know. I said, we'll see, Coach. We'll see, Coach. Well, you know, I'll have to admit, he embarrassed me. This team is really, really deep, and they have every kid back that I expect to do well. They've got Drury back. He was a state placer. They got Valdez, who was a state placer 2 years ago. They got Michael Heine, who was a placer last year, high placer. Aldinger, who's really, really tough. He's moved up two weight classes. They've had a freshman last year named Giovanni Majeure, who didn't place, who I think places this year. And then you add Ryan Patterson, who had a really interesting situation. Homeschooled. I didn't think he was coming back, but Chassa ruled that he was eligible to come back. He's a state placer as well. And so even the team ranking, I didn't put Ryan Patterson in there. So all of a sudden now you have six ranked kids from last year who are even higher ranked this year. And then you add Majeure, that's seven guys that could score for them. That's a dangerous, dangerous team. And here's the scariest part of it all, Kevin. They had two kids leave the program to go back to live with mom or dad in other states. If they had those kids, guess who'd be number one right now going into the preseason?
Wow. Falcon. Wow, that would be amazing. That would be an eye-opener if you had them at number one to start the year. Cheyenne Mountain right behind them in fourth. They're coming off a fantastic run last year again. You mentioned it in your team notes that they had a fantastic state tournament, obviously.
They did. And, you know, I go back and I say there have been two state tournaments that I'll remember for the rest of my life. The first one was Moffat County when they scored an astronomical number of points in the back door to pass Alamos to win the state title back in the 90s. This last year's state championship for Cheyenne Mountain was equal to that. Every kid that had to win won a match. They needed a fall, they got a fall. They needed a major, they got a major. And they just kept doing that in the entire state tournament. And I don't know if it was the Pueblo, they love wrestling. They always wrestle well in Pueblo. I don't know if it was a Pueblo environment for them. Obviously, it's close for them to get to Pueblo, but they just did great. You know, here's the test for Cheyenne Mountain this year, though. Last year, they lost Billy Maddox, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was why I didn't ever have them in that one spot except for a couple weeks. I still thought they were the number two in the state going into the final tournament of the year. They lose Soren Herzog this year, who I think is arguably their best kid on the lineup. You know, you've got, obviously, Gilardi, and you got some other great kids on there, so I don't want to disparage them by any means because win a state title, you're not going to do much better than that. But Herzog was a kid that wrestled all summer long, did great for them. Well, he moves out of the state as well. So two years in a row, Cheyenne Mountain loses 18, 20 points off that team. And they just come back and win again. They have kids to step up and do great. So I expect the same. There'll be two or three other kids on Cheyenne Mountain's team who I don't expect to do well who will embarrass me again.
All right, so Easton County 1-2, Falcon at number 3, Cheyenne Mountain in 4th. Rest of the top 10 there in 4A, some notes on those teams and some guys you're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at the numbers, Pueblo Easton County separated by 2. You got a 9-point drop to Falcon. You got a 5-point drop to Cheyenne Mountain. You got Roosevelt that's sitting about 10 back. But you know, here's what I like about Roosevelt. Most ranked kids in all of 4A.
Really?
10. 10 kids ranked. And so you start looking at that team saying, now they could place here, they could place there. And in that 5 spot, they're happier than a clam right now. They love the 5 spot because nobody thinks that they can do anything more than being top, you know, maybe a 4, 5, or 6 team. That team is dangerous. And if they actually get Juan Garcia, who's been back from injury for 2 years in a row, if he does really well and they have a super sophomore there, they got Robinson who's probably going to win a state title this year, and then they have 3 transfers and 1 incredible freshman. Those guys show up, watch out. Roosevelt's going to be tough. How about Loveland? Loveland's not really overly deep, but they've got great quality. They got 5 great kids, 4 in the top 5. I got them in the 6th spot. Greeley Central, you know what? I think this is a really good Coach Penfold team right now. They've got 7 ranked kids. I think they're going to make a run at some point. So there's your 5, 6, 7 for me right now.
All right, let's move up into 5A as we take a look at that classification. And no surprise category here. You have Pomona number 1, and again, they're the favorite to win yet another state championship in the big school ranks, Tim.
I promise you I'm not a homer. I promise you. But when I break this Pomona team down, they exasperate me. I mean, it's 13 ranked kids.
Mm.
Every single one of their kids is ranked in the top 5. They have 6 kids ranked number 1. But the reason why they do is that they were all either state champions or high state placers last year. You got Daniel Cardenas, who signed with Stanford, going for his 4th state title this year. and I just stole your later plug of who's coming back in that particular role. Sorry, Kevin.
That's all right.
You got Olwen, you got Romero, you got two-time state players in Still and Judd and Parsons and Cruz, and then you've got all these other kids in that lineup who have a massive amount of wrestling experience. If Pomona does what I think they will do, it's a new state record for scoring.
That was what I was going to ask. Ponderosa is the number two team, and you like the Mustangs, I know, but is there a team out there can even challenge or come close to the Panthers in 5A this year?
Well, when you look back at the state tournament last year, I think there was a little bit of frustration from Sam on that team about they didn't score enough points. I think this year they scored enough points, but I don't know if Ponderosa's got enough horses like they do to do well. They've got 9 ranked kids. They've got 12 ranked kids. They've got 9 ranked in the top 5. Anytime you rank 12 kids, you got a chance to run. And I think the door is open. It's not like wide open that you can take the hinges off the door, but the door is open wide enough for them to make a run. Here's what's going to make the difference, I think, for them, is that you got Brandon Cannon, who I think is one of the top 5 or 6 kids in his weight in the country, wins the prestigious preseason nationals a few weeks ago. You got Murphy Menke, who is way up from 132 to 160. You got Boston, who's a state runner-up. You got Otto Black, who is a World Cadet team member. You start running these kids, you know, resumes, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that's one crazy team. And they've got a lot of kids that are going to be on the mat in the varsity position for the first time this year. If they get in a hot rhythm come regionals and state, that team could challenge.
Does Ponderosa, though, getting back to your earlier point about moving around into weights and filling in some gaps there, does Ponderosa, as you get to that state tournament, almost look at it as a duel and say, I want this kid possibly against that Pomona Panther and so on and so forth? Do you look at
it that way?
I love
the question because I believe it's exactly right. When you're a coach and you got competitive kids, sometimes what you look for is that head-to-head position, right? If we can beat them here and push them to, say, another part of the bracket, you know, Tim had them ranked 1-2. Now they're 3-4. Now you eliminate 6 or 7 points. You start running a tournament like that where you get rid of 5 or 6 points in 7 or 8 different weights, all of a sudden it's a team race. Mm-hmm. And you hadn't even really done anything except wrestle lights out against the kids you had to ultimately beat. So that'll be fun.
All right. Next two in 5A, you have Monarch and Chaparral. Talk about the Coyotes and the Wolverines.
Yeah, you know, when you do run the numbers, it's Pomona way out there, and you got Ponderosa kind of sitting on an island by themselves. But there's a pretty big drop when you get to Monarch. I've got them scoring just around 105 points. But there's a pretty big drop after that. I love Monarch. I love what Roman's doing. Trujillo Dean, Fassbender, Carlucci, those are the placers coming back. But I like the other people he has that he's going to put on the map this year. That's going to be a team. They may not be 1-2, but they're a pretty solid lock for 3 unless they just wrestle horribly. The one thing I will say, though, about Chaparral, 7 ranked kids, 5 in the top 6, is this freshman class is phenomenal. And they've got really good experience. Strait and Gabaldon, they're 2 freshmen. They could win state titles. And I wouldn't put it past them. Great experience, great mat time. You got Freeman who's come back to the state placer. You got Cabal coming back to the state placer. You got Swain back to the state placer. If they get support from Keeters and Bell and some of the other guys, they've got a chance to pass Monarch. And so you better be careful. Catch Ponderosa? Probably not. But catch Monarch? Certainly possible.
Yeah, and with all that young talent, getting to state, very important for those kids for future years, it looks like. Couple of other teams I want to mention in 5A. Adams City, good individual tradition. You have them in the top 5 in 5A. And then Brighton, another top 10 team, but a new coaching staff in place. But you still like what you see out of the Bulldogs.
You know, I do. Adams City, and when I got his lineup, Coach DeGuero, he had texted it to him. And I texted him back and said, this is a pretty good little team. and he said, we'll hold our own. And then I started running the names. You know, you got two DeGueros, and you got Moff and Vasquez and Long, two Longs and Ortiz. They may not be high placers, but a lot of those guys could place 4, 5, 6. You know, DeGuero, Levi could actually do some pretty amazing things with his abilities. So, you know, all of a sudden you play 7 in a state tournament, you're top 5. And that's why I've got him in the top 5 spot right now. Brighton, you know, and I talked to their previous coach, and he's a really good guy and obviously has been part of that program for many, many years and said, Tim, I have to focus on some other things in my life. My family is really going to be important for me, and I've got a son that plays incredible baseball, and I really want to spend some time with him. But Eric Hines and James Garcia step right up, and they've been communicative with me, which has been great. They've got a really, really good star in Dylan Bravo Packer, one of the Mesa's top 220-pounders. He's going to win a state title, and he's not going to surprise anybody. He's going to be at the top of the pack, and I don't know if anybody can touch him. If you're going to take Bravo Packer, you better be really strategic. And then you throw in Gallegos and Smaus and the Rock Brothers. You got five guys right there that can place. And plays pretty high. That's at least a top seven position for Bright.
All right.
Don't forget about Pooter, though, who's right before that.
Okay.
Pooter's another one of those that's got two great freshmen and a team that has a nucleus of a leadership from Garcia Lopez. I like what they could do in that sixth spot as well.
All right. So that's a team to watch from up north as well. Now, you mentioned Daniel Cardenas with Pomona going for four in a row. As you talked about the Panthers, some other individuals you got your eye on here in 4A and 5A as they go for multiple state titles, two, three, or four.
Well, I still, and I've said this a long time, that Kobe Johnson might be one of the most under nationally ranked kids in the U.S. You know, he's a third in the state as a freshman. He's a state champion as a sophomore. He's a state champion as a junior. He's I wouldn't say prohibitive favorite, but he's going to be a pretty strong favorite this year at 120. Love what that kid will do as he seeks his third state title. And then you start looking at some of the others that you have a lot of state champions that are coming back, maybe from 2 years ago, maybe from this year. But, you know, the 4A class, you got Gallardi at 195 for Shine Mountain. He's going to be seeking his second state title. You got a kid who's in my backyard, and I really like his style of wrestling. That's Dominic Hargrove. He'll be going for his second straight title. You got Xavier Freeman, who was state champion last year at 182. He works up to 220. Will he handle the weight differential? He's got some studs in that weight. Matthew Moore, arguably in 285 in 4A. Arguably the best heavyweight in the nation. He'll score big for Mesa Ridge. And then as you kind of get into the 5A ranks, I mentioned Canada Ponderosa, one of the top kids in the entire U.S. Nobody knows anything about because he wrestled at Wyoming Seminary his freshman year. And then he got a major sickness. And you need to look this kid up, see what he's going through. And it pretty much leveled him. I mean, he didn't know if he was ever going to make it back. He's back now. And then you start looking at the train of people from Pomona. You got still ranked one at 26, never state champion, but really tough. You got Romero Pomona, state champion. You got Olween, state champion. You got Cardenas going for his fourth. You got Murphy Mankey, who's always tough. How will he handle the new weight? And I'm kind of going through the number ones that I have in some of these weights. And then Bravo Packer, who I mentioned, is going to be a star at 220. There's a lot of great athletes in these various weights, 4A and 5A.
All right, and we'll talk about those athletes and teams throughout the year with Tim Yount of On the Mat. Tim, tell us how folks can subscribe to your weekly email and get all this information in their inbox.
It's going to be really easy. You're going to email me, tim@onthematrankings.com, and I'll hook you up with the various ways you can pay for a ranking. It's Venmo, it's PayPal, it's check, it's charge, it's whatever. You want to pay me with, you can pay me in pennies, you can pay me in nickels, you can do whatever you want. We're just happy to have you part of the community, part of the family, and getting rankings and being informed and really enjoying the season.